Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm usually here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, and we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And for most Thursdays, we have our interview with James Corbett of the Corbett Report, but he was unable to join us. So after the market report, Francis Stephan, host of the Frank Report on American Voice Radio, will be joining me for the balance of the program for Thursday, July 17th, 2014. There are just too many news stories going on today not to have a live program. And if you have any questions or comments, and of course we're going to be talking about the downing of the airliner, send questions to questions@dgscoins.com. questions@dgscoins.com, and a little later on the program we'll give you a phone number that you can call us for your comments or questions. Tomorrow's program will be Alfred and myself, but let's get started. And we saw that gold had quite a bit of a boost today from the downing of the Malaysian airliner, and right now we're currently looking at the New York spot price at up $18 at $1,319. The high of the day was $1,324. And silver today, $21.25, up $36. Platinum was up $21 at $1,503. Palladium was up $10 at $886. Platinum had the, or I should say silver had the biggest boost of the day, 1.75%, and the other three precious metals pretty much in line with one another. The USDX today was only down 0.04 at 80.50, and of course crude oil was up stronger, 1.84 at 103.04. I don't think the gain in crude oil was basically due to the airliner crash, but there was certainly some reports of the inventories were down, and that was up even before the announcements of the airline. The paper markets today, they struggled. They tried to keep them up, but at the last, they've fallen significantly, down 161 points at 16,976. And remember, it's not only the Malaysian aircraft crash in Ukraine, but also the Israeli offensive in Gaza. That certainly has an impact on the markets coming together. The NASDAQ was down 62 points at 4,363, along with the S&P down 23 at 1,958. And of course, you expected to see some folks go into treasuries. The 10-year is yielding 2.48%, down 0.06. And I'll tell you what, I don't think people are going to be running to the treasuries like they normally do in situations like this. I believe their first choice will be gold. And it'll be interesting to see what kind of a day holds tomorrow. You had the European markets. They dropped sharply on the news of the Malaysian airliner crash, which came just before the closing bell. Germany's DAX lost more than 1%. Then the Russian market was down nearly 5%. So I think those numbers are a lot, I think overnight they'll be significant lower for those. So they just came on board right as they were closing, just as the markets were closing, just as the report of the crash. The VIX, which means volatility and is sometimes dubbed the fear gauge, shot up as much as 17% following the report by a Russian news service that the airline flight from Amsterdam to Kuala Lumpur had crashed in eastern Ukraine. But there was other news, economic news that affected the markets. You had weak home construction data. There was a bunch of disappointing financial returns from companies like Mattel, Yum Brands, and AutoNation. That kind of put a little bit of pressure on the stock market. But they actually did quite a good, it was an effort, good effort to keep the stock markets from crashing more than what they did, considering all that is going on. So an interesting day in the markets, and there's lots of questions to be asked. And we do have Frank Stephan joining me this afternoon to go over these questions and to talk about the airliner. And in case some of you haven't heard the news yet, we'll be talking about that. But let's see you. Frank Stephan, are you there, sir?
I sure am. Hi, Melody.
Hi, Frank. Well, I want to thank you for joining me this afternoon. There's so many things going on and so many ways to look at what's going on. There's going to be many, many conspiracy theories. There's going to be a lot of lies coming from governments. And there's so hopefully we can begin to dissect.
Well, I sure got my tinfoil hat on.
Have your tinfoil hat on? Well,
because, you know, I don't know. My first reaction to anything is to not believe anything the government puts out, because they lie continuously. Now, they may slip out the truth here and there, but, you know, not very often. And my first thing is, okay, whatever they're saying is a lie. What are they actually, what's actually going on? Which is the, you know, that's the challenge.
Well, first, let's talk about what happened. You did have a plane with 295 people.
Mm-hmm.
It took a while for them to admit that it was most likely downed by a very sophisticated weapon, considering the where it was flying, 30,000 feet in the air.
Mm-hmm.
It's very high. And it did crash. There was 295 folks on board, 15 members of the crew, and it crashed near the Russian border. And it's interesting to what I find is there was a phone call between Putin and Obama, and this was a prearranged phone call by Putin, and it was actually Putin, from what I understand, who told Obama about the crash.
Yeah, that's quite a coincidence in itself. And there's another question, and I'm not the only one. I went and looked, and I thought, well, wait a minute. You know, I kind of like geography, and I kind of had an idea where, you know, the Ukraine and Kuala Lumpur is, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, why are they flying? So I got a map, and I looked, and I just put in, you know, how you can do when you're looking for directions. I just went to Google Maps, anybody can do this, and put in Ukraine, where they came from was Amsterdam. I put in Amsterdam to Kuala Lumpur, and on the Google Maps, they put a, one of those curved lines to go with the, you know, how the Earth is, where a plane would fly from Amsterdam to Kuala Lumpur, and it doesn't go over the Ukraine. So this plane was over the Ukraine when it shouldn't have been over the Ukraine. It had no business being over the Ukraine, and I'm not the only one, because on CBS out of San Francisco, a guy, Captain Sullenberger, he says the headline here is, big question is, why was the plane flying over a war zone? Well, meaning, why was this plane flying over the Ukraine when the flight path doesn't go over the Ukraine? It goes over Romania. You know, so what was the plane doing there? Then it's the fact that, okay, so wait a minute. This is Malaysian Airlines again in a 777 again? I don't know. It just seems weird. And then, you know, this happens right when Putin and the Obama are on the phone. There's a lot of weird stuff about this. Plus, you know, the Ukrainian forces over there, most people that have followed this realize that they are absolutely supported. And there's probably even what we call advisors on the ground from the United States in the Ukraine. So it's a strange... I don't think we're getting the, a plane, you know, oops, got shot down and whatever.
Well, certainly not. I mean, commercial flights were prohibited from flying in that area. So you're right. They shouldn't have been there to begin with. And certainly there's a lot of Europeans on that plane. And we know that the U.S. put more sanctions, but all the news stories that I've listened to and the reports that I've read, they certainly want to point the finger at Putin. I mean, it's even though it could be terrorists, and we really don't know if this really was a surface-to-air missile or if there was a bomb or if it was an intentional... You know, there are lots of questions.
You know, and I'm so cynical because I've been lied to by these people for so long now on so many issues, like all of them, that, you know, I'm not taking anything as the truth. I don't know there were 295 people on that plane. I don't know any of this. We're getting this information from, what, 10,000 miles away, in a place that's controlled and run by the CIA, you know, so any information we get out of there is suspect. Now, it may be true, it may not be true, but it's certainly suspect. We cannot just take whatever these people say as, oh, there it is, there's the truth, there's what's going on.
Well, the problem also, Frank, is you're right, and I believe that's how you get to the truth. You have to question everything. But on the other hand, I've seen folks take it to the other side, to where they, you know, create and follow the untruth because they don't want to believe the truth of what's being reported to them. So it is a fine line on where you end up believing, and but certainly you do have to question everything that is given to us, and you sort of have to use a little common sense also.
Well, and this is all part of, you know, if people would just go and read some of the stuff from the early days of communism, Beria and Trotsky and those guys, and read what they wrote about. They gave out a detailed, okay, look, here's how we need to do our worldwide communist revolution. And one of the things that's very important is to keep the public off balance. And that's what that's how they put it, off balance. And to keep people off balance is to lie to them most of the time, but then throw in a truth now and again. So you really don't ever know what to believe. And you're always off balance, wondering, man, I wonder what's really going on. Oh, well, I believe this. No, I believe that. No, I believe this. No, that can't be true. You know, and you just can never sit back and say, okay, I believe what's going on because they told me. And we are off balance. Everybody is. And then, you know, like you said, it does go the other way. I can come up with lots of real conspiracy theories, but that doesn't make them true either, you know. They're a possibility. That's all they are. But, you know, just like, hey, what they're telling us is a possibility. It could be true, too. But that's all it is, as far as I'm concerned, is a possibility.
Well, I really believe it was the aliens.
Yeah, there you go. See? See? What I think is, I think Star Trek, I think the Enterprise came off the TV, traveled back in time, and shot down that airplane. That's what I think happened.
Could be.
Except those people aren't really dead because they transported them off of there. You know, because, yeah, that's what I think, yeah.
But we do have lots of questions, and Murray sent me some already before the program, and one of them was, could this be the missing Malaysian airliner?
Good question.
I mean, it is really odd and very coincidental, and I don't know the number of people that were on that airliner. I can't recall. I don't know if there was like 255 or something like that. It would be real coincidental if it was the same number.
Yeah. Well, and you know, then there's the 777. You know, isn't this the airplane that was going on fire on the ground because, you know, they had some sort of electrical problem? They had to ground that airplane for some time?
Was it the new one, the 777?
I think it was. And, you know, that was some months back, and they say they fixed it and all that. But, you know, and, well, Colonel Bogue Wrights has talked about this airliner. This because he, you know, he looks at everything from a tactical sort of military stance, and he said, well, you know, this plane is designed to replace the 747. The problem is the 747 has four engines, which means you've got a couple of chances to keep flying if you lose.
I think that's the 787, isn't it?
The one with the go on fire? The ones that go on fire or the
yeah.
one? It could have been.
That was the dream. That was the Dreamliner, wasn't it?
Oh, this isn't the Dreamliner.
No, this is the 777.
Well, this one has two engines, and from a tactical point of view, if you were going to shoot down an airplane, it'd be a lot easier to shoot down one with two engines than four engines. You know, and this is the second time with the same airline, same plane. It's just very suspicious. It you know. And I think that's the main thing, is because the sad truth is we're never going to really know the whole truth, because there's no way we can, because this happened in the Ukraine, and, you know, unless you're, and even if you're there, looking at rubble isn't going to really tell you what really happened. So I think what people, instead of trying to, you know, tie on the tinfoil hat and figure out what happened, start looking at how this event affects everything. And that will tell you a lot about who's responsible. Because I don't think any of these things, I don't think you just accidentally shoot down an airliner, you know, because there's all kinds of things. If you accidentally shoot off a missile and go, oops, that's a passenger liner, you hit a button and self-destruct the missile. You don't have to shoot it down once you shoot the missile. So I it's difficult for me to believe anybody that's saying, well, this was just an accident. It was an accident. I don't believe that at all. But you look and see, well, okay, what agenda, and there's many of them out there, but which agenda is this moving forward? And I don't think we can see that just yet, but I'm sure we will. Shortly now, you know, and meanwhile, while this is going on, Israel is rolling on into Gaza. So, you know, there's quite a bit going on today.
There really is, and there's going to be more pressure from Ukraine. They're going to put more pressure on the U.S. and Europe for protection.
And money.
From this, and money. We saw the sanctions really haven't worked with Russia. Putin continues to say it's not me, it's not the Russians that are causing the problems over there. So there's been a lot of commentary that military escalation is very high due to this situation. So regardless of who, what, when, or where, we're looking at greater military escalation in this situation. And so who really did shoot the missile? If it was the missile, it's going to be near term impossible to determine unless someone really comes out and takes credit for it.
Well, and they could be lying too, you know.
And we're going to have to see if there's going to be cooler heads in this. Oh, there's the break.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be returning here in just a few minutes. Thank you for joining us. We'll be right back.
have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Suderstrom, and I'm here with Frank Stephan of the Frank Report. You can hear on American Voice Radio, and we're talking about the downing of the Malaysian airliner with 295 supposedly folks on there. You got to believe something. It's tragic if this is the case for someone to make the point and to recklessly, you know, attack a commercial airliner. And this is what you have. And Murray sent me an email during the break. Frankie says, remember Flight 800 that was taken out on July 17th, 1996? He says dates are very important.
Well, yeah, that's a very interesting fact, because today is July 17th. It's the 7th month, the 17th day. It was a Boeing 777. A lot of sevens there, you know, and dates to these people are important. They're, you know, I believe, and, you know, a lot of people might think this is crazy, but I really believe that the leaders, the people running the show, whether they're the ones we see or not, are certainly influenced by evil entities, you know, like I would say Satan myself, because, and dates and numbers are important to them. They really feel that they give them some sort of power, that they conjure up some sort of, you know, more success, you know, if you use this number. I mean, the Chinese believe the same thing. That's why they paint the inside of their places red, and they, you know, they set their living areas up in a certain way because that's what they feel. They feel that this will, you know, give them more positive energy or whatever. You know, these people believe this. So, yeah, dates are important. I'm not, I don't personally think much of them, but doesn't matter what I think, because, you know, if somebody who's running the world thinks that, that's what they're going to do, whether it's true or not. You know, if they believe it, that's what they'll do. You know, pull things off on dates they think that are going to be more beneficial to whatever they're doing.
And we have seen dates play a very important part in many of the things that have happened.
Sure, the 19th.
Over the years.
You know, the 19th is another date that, you know, bad things always seem to happen on the 19th, you know. So, you know, I don't doubt they're doing it. I don't personally feel there's much reality behind it, but it doesn't matter whether there is or not, or whether I believe it or not. It's the people that are doing the things. If they believe it, then it matters to them. And if that's true, then we at least have to watch these dates and see what goes on. And I think the most important thing, though, with all of this is to keep our eyes, don't get distracted with the actual event. Look at the event and then try to keep focused on, well, whose agenda is this benefiting? Whatever it is, you know, because they've told us that they will not allow a crisis to be wasted. You know, they're going to always use a crisis, whether they created the crisis or whether the crisis just happened. They're going to take advantage of it. You know, and if somebody's benefiting off of a bad thing, in today's world, I've got to figure that they had something to do with the bad thing.
And that's exactly what Murray said. Who stands to gain? The Eastern Ukrainians would bring wrath down upon themselves. And the big question is, do they even have this kind of weaponry? The Western Ukrainians would blame the East in an attempt to garner world support. And I also saw that a Russian rocket may have downed the plane. But everybody has Russian rockets.
Well,
I mean, they sell them to various countries. So, you know, just because it's a Russian rocket doesn't mean that, quote unquote, Russia was actually involved. Well, I'm not sticking up for Russia. I mean, they certainly have the ability, the capability, and the desirability to, you know, do something like this. And Putin is not going to drop down, but we certainly have seen the relationship from Putin and Obama deteriorate. We had the situation with Snowden. We had the situation with Syria. You have this. I mean, so you have the situation, you know, with Iran, and so you know there is.
You know, I got to side with Putin on this because, you know, my relationship with Obama has soured also. So, you know, I got to think it's Obama's fault, you know, because, you know, he's got all these things.
Well, I'm not going to side with anyone until I see, but certainly, you know, there's things you can read and hear and believe that can point you in certainly a different direction than just Putin.
Well, and one other thing is that, you know, I'd be willing to say, look, it's either a Russian missile or a U.S. missile. One or the other, you know.
Most in the world, yeah. I mean, it's...
you know, it's going to be one of those, so, you know.
But, yeah, I mean, what other missiles are there?
And the United States is over there in the Ukraine doing dirty business with the CIA, and they've been doing dirty business in the Ukraine for a long time, and that's the real... that's the real sore spot with going on in the Ukraine. There's people over there that want to be traditionally back with Russia, but the United States has weaseled its way in and actually replaced their government and put in who they wanted. And, you know, and just because we go in and we replace somebody and we put in and going, oh, we're recognizing this government as legitimate now. And then, of course, all of NATO does that, too, because they got to follow, you know, they got to follow what the U.S. says. So if we recognize a government as legitimate, they also have to. You know, and now, basically, the Russian point of view is isolated, and so are the people in the Ukraine that take that view. It's, you know, honestly, I realize there's some, you know, economic interests in the Ukraine. Gas and oil and steel are big interests in that area, but, you know, it's really not in, it shouldn't be in the sphere of influence of the United States, I don't think, way over there. I mean, yeah, we should maybe, we should be more a nation that, you know, places so far away like that that are having trouble, perhaps send diplomats and say, look, maybe we could all sit down and we maybe could mediate this for you and help you guys not kill each other, but that isn't at all what we do. You know, our way is always to send in advisors, you know, and they bring all these things like missiles, you know. So it's a real bad situation that could really escalate out of control. And, you know, and then again, to mention, you know, Israel is, as we speak, you know, rolling tanks into Gaza and just, you know, crushing that whole area right now.
It kind of reminded me a little bit of 9/11 because Obama was speaking. He was, and this is just incredible, some of the things that I heard him say while he was ready to give this speech today. But, you know, 40 seconds he gave attention to the situation, and then he goes on making jokes. Yeah. And it kind of remind me of Bush in the classroom after he'd be in tone. He just sits there and continues to, you know.
Read the
Talk to the little children.
Notebook.
Yeah, I know.
You know, but Obama did exactly the same thing in Colorado when it came to the, you know, hey, we're being invaded on the southern border. What do you think about that? He laughed, made jokes, drank beer, and shot pool.
Yep.
You know, this is the president we have. And now, hey, you know, this is going to cut into his vacation time. He's due to go to Martha's
Vineyard.
You
really Vineyard,
think
so?
You know?
You think so? I highly doubt it. But
well, you know, maybe Michelle will be the one on the airplane taking it, and he can take the second airplane 15 minutes later, you know, because he's late dealing with this.
Which brings me to this question. Anybody on board who needed to be dealt with? We had 23 Americans. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of Europeans. But I think anyone anymore who feels they might be dealt with, probably charter a flight.
Well, and they fall out of the sky, too, you know? I mean,
I know.
I'll tell you, if I was one of these people that I thought they wanted to get me, I think I'd stay out of airplanes altogether, maybe take the train or something.
Or what place is that important to go to, you know?
Not the Ukraine, that's for sure. I mean, and then there is the question, this plane had no business being over the Ukraine in
that's
the
right.
first place. So that has to be a question. What's up with Malaysian Airlines? Okay, are we going to buy the story that Malaysian Airlines is so incompetent, first they lose an airplane, and now their airplane is flying over a war zone that it shouldn't even be there? You know, what's going on here? Are they really that incompetent? Why does the rest of the world let Malaysian Airlines even fly airplanes if that's the case? But, you know, and it should have been a tip-off that they lost an airplane, if that's even true, which I don't necessarily believe it is, but, you know.
No, I don't I believe that one crashed. Or this is it.
Or landed. You know,
or landed, and this is that airline.
It could be.
A lot of folks said you're going to see the airline come back. It's going to be used for some sort of terrorist attack or that type of a situation. And I truly believe that it had crashed. But after seeing this report, it makes sense. I mean, again, you're looking at the connections and the possibilities. It's like, why couldn't this be that airline?
Well, and in a lot of ways, you know, when you look at the, you know, the government line, which you'll find on the mainstream news agencies, and then you look around on the internet at, you know, what people call conspiracy theories, and you look at them all and you read them all, most of the time you're going to end up, at least not all of the conspiracy theories, because some are just, you know, like, you know, my theory about the Enterprise. But the thing is, you're going to come across some so-called conspiracy theories that actually make a lot more sense than the government story. And you can't just ignore that and say, well, that's just crazy. You know, even though it makes more sense, it's just crazy because, you know, the government says completely opposite. So, yeah, well, the government also tells you the inflation rate's, what, 4% or something? Really? Go to the supermarket and tell me that. You know, that's not true. Everybody knows that's not true. And unemployment's not, you know, the minuscule number that they give there. And the debt's not what they say it is. And nothing is what they say it is. So why, you know, and people, this always amazes me that people that know, you know, they know the government's lying about the inflation rate. They're lying about the unemployment rate. They're lying about how many illegal aliens have come into the country. You know, they're lying about the debt. And these people understand that, know that. But then they'll turn around and go, well, this is what happened with this because, you know, this is what the news said. Well, that amazes me because it's like, well, you know they lie, right? I mean, you know they lie about everything. Even things they don't really need to lie about, they lie about. And so I just can't believe anything they say. So I just take in everything. I read it all, let it rumble around in my head, and I keep my eyes open to see, well, okay, let's keep our eyes peeled and see whose agenda benefits from this. You know, whose agenda is going to move ahead? Is the Ukraine going to get more military assistance from the U.S., more money from the European Union? You know, is there going to be more sanctions against Russia? You know, what's going to happen here? What's going to be the fallout from this? And I think that's where we may be able to determine at least some truth about what happened, you know, and who's responsible. Because I really do believe that whoever benefits is who's responsible.
The last question he had, why didn't Flight 93 of the 9/11 fame leave the same debris field as this flight did?
Yeah, good question.
But as far as I know, it really did. It just wasn't, the information wasn't released. I had a client who they actually brought in contractors. They paved a road to the site for when, I can't remember if it was Bush that had gone there, but they had to put in a road. They had to pave the road for the president. And they were in there working, and they were hired to do some removal, and there was parts of the plane and bodies scattered in trees in a fairly large area. The person, my client, who worked more on the outside, but his, his partner, which was, you know, name wasn't released, but they told me of the things, and this goes back a long time, and so again, reports, it's difficult to believe what is released in the news.
Yeah, it is, because really the news has been co-opted by the government. And the mainstream news, the television, you know, this is the government talking points. You know, here it is, here's the story, this is the official line. And that's what they talk about. I mean, this is nothing new. I mean, I remember as a kid, you know, growing up during the Cold War. And, you know, the Russian, you know, the Soviet Union, evil empire. And part of the thing was, yeah, look at their newscasts. It's all just government propaganda. You know, and we all knew that. We all accepted that. We all believed that because it was true. Well, the same is true here now. They have controlled the media. Now, there's another story, a minor story, I guess, now, but Rupert Murdoch wants to buy CNN.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think that's very dangerous, you know, to have that much control of information in one man or one company's hands, especially Rupert Murdoch, but I mean, anybody, you know, nobody should have that much control over what the American people get as far as information goes. And I'm not surprised, but I'm upset that that this is even something that the government would think about maybe letting him do, because they should say, oh no, heck no, you're not doing that. You know, they should have never let him start Fox News. He's a foreigner anyway. You know, and he talks about he's an American now. Well, the only reason he became an American was so he could start Fox News. But, you know, just goes to show, see, the globalists, they have no loyalty whatsoever to any nation. They don't care where they were born. They don't think that way. You know, they just, they use whatever country they can use for their benefit. It's just like, well, it's like senators. You know, Hillary Clinton, senator from New York, really? I thought she was from Arkansas. I thought she would live somewhere in Illinois, everywhere but New York. But there she goes. Carpetbagger comes to New York. You know, they don't care about it either because that's their mindset. They have a globalist mindset, and they don't care, you know. And I think this whole thing with the airliner, too, is part of that mindset. I think whoever did this did it for a reason to benefit on the global scale. And I think that's what we need to look at who is going to end up benefiting from this.
I agree. It's no longer a small territory, one country versus another country. It's certainly the global plan. It is a global view of what is going to come out of this situation. And I guess we're not going to break. We're going to continue through.
No, we can.
We could continue through. We're past the...
I just get, I have trouble doing this whole guest and producer thing.
I get it. I get it. But there's going to be lots of questions. And, you know, I talked about what's really, it disturbed me. Because, yes, it was a campaign speech. It was a campaign talk or whatever you might want to call it when I heard Obama today out of Wilmington, Delaware, I believe, with the mayor to talk about what they're going to do about rebuilding America. And this was shortly after the announcement of the crash. And just to paraphrase a lot of what he was saying is, I am going to rebuild America. He's going to rebuild America on his own since Congress doesn't have any interest. And whenever he has a chance to help families or communities, he is going to do it. He was making fun of the lawsuit that Boehner brought against him. He says it's a political stunt, which it might be, using taxpayers' money to sue him. And he laughed about it. He says he is using his time and money and energy to help families like you, as he's referencing the people that are there. And then you heard this applause.
Was he talking to, down at one of the...
he was in Wilmington.
Camps?
He was in Wilmington.
The only people he's helping are the illegal aliens. Because,
exactly.
I mean, even in the black communities.
The whole point
Chicago.
Is not even who he is or isn't helping. His reference of, I am going to rebuild. I am going to do it. I'm going to do it without the help of Congress, without the help of anyone, or the agreement. Or the confirmation of anyone, I am going to do it. That was the part that disturbed me. I mean, it's like he is in his own little world. And he talked about patriotism, and again, it was a campaign speech, so to speak. But he says, we're going to restore the American dream. Let's build some bridges. Let's build some road. He says, now I'm going to go and sign my memorandum. And, of course, his memorandum was in reference to the highway trust fund that is ready to go bust. He created some sort of Build American investment that he's going to bring together with Wall Street and big business so they can get together and finance and get the government programs. So they'll get government money. They'll get taxpayers' money. And the wealthy will continue to get wealthier.
Or
and,
what they'll do is they'll privatize everything and give it to the
They'll privatize it. Yes.
You know,
yes.
And
that's exactly.
You know, Obama can have all these dreams he wants. And I honestly think that the lawsuit is a stupid move because the courts have ruled many times that you can't sue a sitting president. And I don't think they're just I just don't think they're going to allow it. I think they're going to spin their wheels and waste time and have the court say, no, you don't have any standing to sue the president. You can impeach him. That is your, you know, prerogative as the Congress, but suing him is not. You know, you got to stick with the rules. You know, the whole thing is Bonehead there thinks that, oh, Obama's not following the Constitution. Well, by suing him, neither is he. He should impeach him. And I realize the Senate is never going to convict Obama, even if the House could impeach him. But I also know Washington rolls real slow. And I think starting impeachment hearings in the House of Representatives would at least slow Obama down. You know, I mean, I realize that, you know, the Senate's never going to convict him, just like they didn't Bill Clinton. But it could slow him down, and it would take him a couple of years to deal with that, and then he could leave, you know, before he does any more damage.
I did see an interesting article with Buchanan I read a couple of weeks ago. He says they really don't have enough to impeach him.
Enough what? Votes? Or enough?
They don't have enough evidence.
I completely disagree with Buchanan.
He says they do not have enough evidence in order to actually impeach Obama.
I absolutely disagree, because Obama took an oath of office, and just by his signature on his executive orders directing his agencies not to enforce immigration laws, and he did that. That is an act of treason, I believe, but it certainly is a violation of his oath of office, and violating your oath of office is certainly impeachable.
You would think.
You know, Buchanan, I used to listen to Buchanan and his liberal partner on the radio was...
Agreed.
I loved that show.
Buchanan is an insider, but
yeah,
there are some things that... you know, he knows what's going on.
Well,
because
he knows, because he's the insider.
I think
he's lying when he says they don't have enough evidence. I think that they're not going to impeach Obama.
No.
I think that's right. Because the insiders... The thing is, when you're in a den of thieves, it's awkward to accuse somebody of stealing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they'll point the finger back at you and say, yeah, you're stealing too. And they're right, because you're all a bunch of thieves. And that's the United States Congress. So, you know, it's tough for them to, you know, start saying, hey, you violated your oath. Because he could turn around and look at anybody in Congress and say, yeah, you violated your oath too. And he'd be right. And they don't want that, you know, because they really need to keep, and this goes back to the economy, but it's also politics. This whole nation... This is why propaganda is so important. This whole nation's existence anymore is based on nothing more than our confidence. Our confidence in the stock market, our confidence in the dollar, our confidence in our congresspeople. Our confidence is the only thing that this nation has anymore. And if that is destroyed... The whole nation will fall apart, and I think they know that, and this is why they don't want to do that, because they know there's nothing... We don't have any foundations left in this country. We used to, but not anymore, and, you know, nothing but confidence. They built the whole society, and I know Al has mentioned this, that, you know, we don't have a nation anymore. We have an economy.
Mm-hmm.
And the economy is based on confidence. And if that's true that we don't have a nation, we have an economy, then the whole shebang is based on nothing more than confidence, which is a really, really shaky foundation to have a so-called nation built on. We got trouble.
We certainly do.
How do you think that between this crash and this invasion of Gaza by the Israeli forces and everything else that's going on, how do you think this is going to affect, for one, the stock market, and for two, gold and silver?
Well, I just read the headline that the Israel's going to start the ground offensive.
They already have. They just started it. Yep.
Yes, they just started it. And, you know, in a normal world... Gold should be up $400 today.
Yeah.
In a normal world. And certainly silver. I think you'll see some high movements in platinum and palladium because of the situation with Russia. You could see that rise a little bit more due to the mining coming out of Russia for those metals. But I do believe people will seek to gold. I mean, certainly you'll see them run to bonds as they usually do. This time with what's going on with war and how fragile everything is, I think gold is going to be their choice pick. And yes, you should see things much higher.
Now,
but it's just difficult to see how they can manipulate it. So
well, and that's
what it will actually do. However, 6 months from now, it's going to be a lot higher than what it is today.
Now, let me, because I don't have any idea on this, but how, because I've got to think that around the area, at least in the region of the Ukraine and in the region of the Middle East, those people have to be buying precious metals more than, say, in the United States or Europe. How much does buying in those regions, like say those people decide, that's it, I'm out of paper, I've got to get precious metals because this place is about to, you know, blow down here. How much would that affect the prices of gold and silver here in the United States?
I think the real impact will be the stock markets, because they will be selling paper, putting, it'll be a contagion into our markets, and I believe that is what will push people more into the gold over here that will make the price of gold rise. I mean, in Europe, it's very difficult to buy British sovereigns and Swiss francs because people have been buying up like there's no tomorrow. But when you have a market that's rigged and to where they can keep the pressure of gold down and come in and dump a bunch of paper contracts to suppress the price of gold, I mean, somewhere, somehow they're selling. So it's hard to say, but I think it will be the paper markets, the pressure of those folks selling with the contagion coming over here, and you'll see the global markets be reduced, people run into safety, and the people over here have to wake up.
What?
They have to wake up, and they have to start getting out of paper. I mean,
well, and I think this is something that people don't fully understand when they see gold and gold prices and when they watch the TV about gold and this and the other thing. I think your average individual on the street, when they hear gold or silver and they see this, I think they really think of gold coins, gold bars, gold, physical gold. I don't think the general population realizes when they're told, well, the market's manipulated. I don't think they get that the way they've manipulated is to start issuing paper that supposedly is in I guess, you know, backed by gold that doesn't exist. You see, here's a piece of paper says you've got an ounce of gold. Well, great, you walk around with that piece of paper and you think I've got an ounce of gold, but there is no ounce of gold. They just said there is. You know, it's not there. There might be a tenth of an ounce of gold or less. There might not be any gold behind it, but they issue these anyway, and they issue them at will, just like they do currency. And this is, am I getting it right on how they actually manipulate the gold market?
Sure. I mean, and you have to look to see how the price of gold is actually set too. I mean, we know it's set in London just like silver prices, and we also know that silver is the banks that the price that the banks set for gold and silver, they're stopping the silver contract or the silver bid come August 15th. So, you know, it's not set by market forces to some degree.
Now,
the person on the street doesn't have a clue because they go to their financial planners and they believe whatever their financial planners tell them. So when it comes to gold, they don't, you know, they understand if they buy paper, they think they're buying gold.
Right.
I mean, even miners. I mean, many of my valued clients, they hold gold mining shares and they, to some degree, some think they're actually holding gold. Mm. They're not. It's paper.
No.
And yes, it might be to some, and it's not backed by the gold in the mines. It's still backed by management.
True.
And you have to believe the way they manage the company. It's a company. You're not buying gold when you buy a gold mine.
I always look at it, if you buy paper of any kind, you're gambling. You know, and gambling's fine. If you want to gamble and you've got disposable income, great. But if you're looking to preserve your wealth and protect yourself, gambling's not the way.
No, it isn't. And I don't think in the world that we live today, gambling is a... I don't want to be there.
No.
You
know,
you could be making a fortune in paper.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens if the broker goes... belly up.
You can lose a fortune, too.
Well, the money will be there, but it'll take you years and years of litigation to get it, if you get it.
Yep, and so that counts for gold or, you know, whatever's in paper. If you don't have it in your hands, you don't have it. It's pretty simple.
You have to remember, during 9/11, the markets were shut down. People couldn't trade their paper.
Right.
Wall Street was closed down.
Well, you know,
you could trade gold, though. You could trade gold.
And it's not just us. It's not just the fringe out there, the alternatives. Because here on Bloomberg, there's a headline, bubble paranoia setting in as S&P 500 surge. Well, they took a survey, and 47% of those surveyed, and these are people in the market, these are traders, said the equity markets is close to unsustainable levels. You know, well, that should concern people. Unsustainable means it's going to crash. You know, and if you're in it, that's not going to be good. Just like if you're in an airplane that's going to crash. You know, if they tell you, look, hey, this airplane, it's going to crash. Here's your ticket now. Here's your boarding pass. Are you going to get on it? And apparently, yeah, people are, because they... You know, I mean, there's all this information out there, and they still buy into this. I don't really get it, but then again, I don't get why people wait for the price of gold to go up to buy either. But you know, they do, so I don't understand that. But that's how it is. So, but I don't know. I see, you know, articles like this where the professionals in it, you know. Almost half of them are saying this is not sustainable. This is not going to, you know, this ain't going to make it. And these are the people willing to say so.
Well, we always talk for something coming out of left field. And we knew the situation where Ukraine was ramping up. We certainly see what's happening everywhere else in the Middle East. And certainly here something happened that I don't think anyone anticipated happening like this. And here we go. So is this the thing from left field? Is this the black swan?
It
could be,
well,
but
combined with Gaza, and you know, I mean, it could be a combination of things that just say that's it. Because once it starts to tumble, I don't think they can stop it.
Plus, NBC just came out today. The White House is on lockdown due to an unattended package on the North Fence line. So, you know, the White House has been cleared. They're investigating, and they'll reopen the White House as soon as possible. So, you know, folks, anything crazy can happen, and you're crazy if you're not positioning yourself for anything might come to us. We live in a world that anything can happen at any moment. Things are happening so quick, so fast, and I guarantee you, if you wait, there won't be any gold or silver for you to purchase. There won't be any gold coins or silver coins for you to purchase, and you'll have to just buy whatever little thing that you can buy, and that will disappear too, because there isn't enough gold to go around to the mass population out there when they decide to buy gold. And
there's
not even
enough gold to go around to give Germany their gold.
No. Yeah. And as we see this escalate, and you have other problems, they might begin demanding their gold. They might not be so nice. There's it. We're out of time. Thank you for joining me, Frank.
Thanks for having me on, Melody.
Thank you, listeners, for joining us. And we'll be back tomorrow, myself and Alfred Adask. Until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
All day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? But still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.